Hello again. You're listening to the SAFM Market Update with myself, Duduzile Ramela, hosted by MoneyWeb in for Nompu Siziba this evening. So, the third annual Africa Tourism Leadership Forum and awards hosted by Rwanda Development Board are currently taking place under the theme Shaping the Future of Intra-Africa Travel Through a Shared Vision. Much of what we need on this continent. We get into conversation about this now. I'm joined by Kwakwe Donkor, CEO of Africa Tourism Partners. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Dudu, and thank you for the opportunity for us to share what we are doing here with the rest of Africa.
A very interesting theme, shaping the future of intra-Africa travel through a shared vision. Let's talk about this vision. What is it?
Dudu, you know, it's been a very difficult time this year, and we realize that we've lost businesses from the rest of the world, particularly in tourism. Now, if you look at the population of Africa, there is no reason why we should not be able to re-engineer that to drive our tourism economies. But unfortunately, that initiative has not really been taken care of. So as Africa Tourism Leadership, being the only platform or Pan-African platform that brings these leaders to dialogue on annual basis, we felt that it's critical for them really to walk the talk. Mm. But to walk the talk, you have to agree on a common goal, on a common vision. And we believe that if all the leadership of the industry, both policymakers and the private sector, agree on at least one or two critical things, we'll be able to make some progress. And there are a couple of issues. We know there is the issue of air connectivity, which is a problem. To give you an example, you cannot fly to a lot of our countries without going through the ADA and spending about 10 hours for a destination that traditionally would have taken 5 hours. Now, if the leadership of the continent or individual countries don't have a common vision, it will be very, very difficult for us to bridge the gaps or possibly do away with these kind of deficiencies. Hence, the theme that we've chosen, that if you would like to truly push for intra-Africa travel, then we have to have a common vision and we have to work together. So that is the rationale behind the theme.
Absolutely essential. Given that this is the third year, what would you say, you know, the leadership that you have had under one roof has had to say about pushing this common goal? You mentioned some or just highlighted a bit in terms of the challenges that we are faced with where intra-Africa travel is concerned. Is there commitment to rectify this?
Yes. I would say that there have been some major progress, because to work together, you have to agree to work together. If you don't agree to work together, no matter what vision or dream that you have, you'll never be able to bring them to fruition. Now, one key thing that we have achieved is to bring the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, and all the national tourism authorities, CEOs, together. And we've had a lot of discussions throughout the year. We've had about two or three sessions under what we call the CEOs Forum, which at first, the forum was just a meeting of CEOs, but now they've agreed to mainstream that, to be able to implement some of the decisions that they've made or some of the issues they've discussed. So that is one. And out of that, the good news that I can share with you, and hopefully to come up soon, the United World Tourism Organization will hopefully launch a campaign to build market confidence, obviously in collaboration with the individual countries, for Africa, called My Africa campaign. They are basically pushing One African initiative. So on the marketplace, we are very pleased that that progress has been made. Another progress that has been made is today, for we discuss what we call the MICE industry. And the MICE industry is basically the meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions, which I'm sure you are aware of. Now, we have, these are driven by convention bureaus. And the convention bureaus in Africa, about 6 countries, have come together and they are looking at how they can rotate meetings that happen on the continent so that each and everyone can get benefit from that. And we can also bring from other countries, they could jointly host events and stuff like that. So that, to me, that is also another positive direction. The third one is basically where we, through this, we've launched what we call Africa Youth in Tourism Innovation Summit. We believe that the future of the continent basically is in the hands of our youth. But then the youth have to be grown. They have to be provided with leadership. They got to be developed. They got to be led and capacitated to do what we want them to achieve. And currently, the leadership has underscored this kind of initiative. So with these three things, we believe that if they are able to move one step on each one of them, we'll be making progress. There are issues on advocacy, which is building momentum on the connectivity, visas, and all those kind of things. Yesterday, for instance, we were talking of technology, the impact of COVID, and filling the forms and stuff. It was commonly agreed that these issues have to be simplified, because if you have your great-grandmother and my great-grandmother flying through the airport, and you ask them to fill a form on a laptop or a computer, they don't even have money for data. So one critical thing we've also agreed on is inclusivity. And I believe that these are some of the key things. They are baby steps, but, you know, as I said, the beginning of 1,000 miles started the first step. And here, we believe that we are making some progress with the CEOs, both private and public sector.
You rightfully mentioned that our currency is the young population on this continent, and you talk about inclusivity. So young people on the continent, you speak to many of them, they're not able to sell this continent because it's so expensive to travel the continent as an African. Whereas, you know, as a European, it could be because of the exchange rates or whatever, but it is much cheaper and sometimes much simpler because of visa processes as well. So on the issue of visa and affordability, what are we doing to make sure that, you know, we are able to push intra-Africa trade, we are able to push intra-Africa travel, and we're able to sell this continent of ours because we are able to visit these places that should be accessible? Yeah.
I think it even goes beyond visa. There is now issue of COVID protocol and COVID certificate. But let me start with the visa. The visa, there has been a lot of progress. Rwanda, for instance, you needed to pay at least about $50 to come here. Every single African citizen can come to Rwanda visa-free. Seychelles, every African citizen comes visa-free. Senegal have come up with that. So a lot of last year, it was different. It wasn't like this. So when some countries make this progress, others learn from that. So we believe that the visa, we are winning the war in one way or the other. The current challenge for the youth is not the visa. The basic challenge is the airfares. But there are some countries that have made some good progress. A good example is Egypt, although it's not in the sub-Sahara. But Egypt, for instance, have reduced airport taxes. They've reduced landing fees, and they've made a lot of initiatives to allow people a flight to be able to come in. That means the tickets could be cheaper for everybody to travel. And we take these good success stories, or what I call the pockets of excellence, and share with the rest of the continent so other countries can learn from that. So that airline issue is a private public sector issue, but it got to start with the public sector on policy issues. And I believe that as we take opportunity to showcase what other countries are doing, others will have the opportunity to learn from that. So that is where we are. But the visa, I believe that we are winning the war. The airline is going to take a big deal. It's going to be difficult, but I think we've got to keep fighting until we win the war, because if we run away, we need to fight another day. Now, there are other opportunities that are coming out of this. Everyone is looking at domestic travel. Besides intra-Africa, domestic travel has become critical. So what we are pushing for is that they got to be what we call differential pricing for Africans. But Africa does it very well. There are times that in South Africa, there are some prices that you got to be a South African or you got to be a resident in South Africa to benefit. So what we are pushing are the country should start looking at what we call differential pricing for Africans. So if I'm carrying an African passport or I'm a resident in Africa traveling, I should be getting a better rate than someone coming from other parts of the world. Doing that, we mean that we can grow the take or the tourism economy within the continent and within our country. So if something like what we are experiencing now, COVID, hits again, at least we can basically grow the economy from within rather than relying on other people. So there are a lot of initiatives that are taking place. And personally, from where I sit and the work I do as a tourism development strategist and a marketing expert, I believe that they are making progress. Just that it's going to be slow because each and every country has different levels of development. They've got different internal priorities. They've got different challenges. But the most important thing for us to do is to try and amplify the voices to make tourism a priority sector for almost all the economy. When it becomes a priority sector, obviously more resources will be allocated to it because it's a priority sector, and through that, it will start reaping the benefits. But as I said, it's going to take a bit of time, but you've got to keep celebrating the pockets of excellence in this case.
Sometimes that is so frustrating to hear that it's going to take a bit of time, especially on the continent. Like, a lot of things have taken so much time. You speak of pockets of excellence, and ECOWAS comes into mind, especially with the visa issue and travel where that is concerned. I guess it's also a matter of will with each and every single regional bloc. Just to close off the conversation, perhaps, and if you could, you know, I mean, everything is now going to be very different, no doubt, because of COVID-19. So what does this look like in terms of intra-Africa travel? So when you get to airports, we know that some of our airports are very humble. How do we allay fears, or what is being said on this platform about allaying fears when people come and they land at whichever airport on the continent, that indeed we are taking the necessary precautionary measures?
I'll give my own case, leaving South Africa last Saturday, coming to Rwanda. I will tell you, my experience in South Africa was the most terrible experience I've ever had after traveling for so many years of my life. And it's very simple because the people at the counter, the people at the airport have not been educated about the need for people to travel. And they don't understand the system, they don't understand the frustration. Because they are not uneducated, they feel that they own the airport and they got to tell you what to do and they got to jump. So one critical thing is education at the service provider, officials at our airport, to try and understand what needs to be done and how to go about it. You get to the airport and you are told, no, you got to fill in a form online. What about you don't have data, you don't have a laptop, you don't have a phone? What do you do? That means you cannot travel. So it's about education and training and building skills and capacity at the points of entry and the points of departure. If we start doing that, the confidence will come. I will compare South Africa to Uganda and Rwanda rather. I got here, no issues. Have you done this? Yes. If you've done, here we go. That's what you do. Not somebody shouting, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't touch here, you can't do that. That is one thing. The second point is about us, the travelers. We also need to be educated that the information that we need to provide these officials at the point of departure and point of listing, each and everyone is aware. It got to be in the public domain. You don't need to go to the airport to be getting to know this. So we believe that there is a need for us to start using technology to start making this information easily available, simplifying that information. When we are able to do that, plus the capacity and skill development, the market confidence will automatically come. So for me, those are the three things that I feel that we need to do to build that market confidence, to make people feel safe, to make people feel comfortable. Feeling safe doesn't mean that it got to be a security threat. Feeling safe doesn't mean that you got to be threatened. Feeling safe doesn't mean you got to be uncomfortable. So if we are able to do these things, I'm sure that the confidence in Africa will keep on rising. Because at the moment, I think looking at COVID, Africa has done better than any other continent. And I believe that if we try and do the three things that I've said, or countries start implementing them, I'll give the case of Rwanda as an example here, we will be able to progress. And on top of that, the COVID fees are becoming too expensive. If you have to travel from, and I don't know, these are some of the policies, as much as we're advocating for airlines, now COVID has come in. From South Africa, you do COVID test. Rwanda, you do a COVID test. You are going to Accra, you do a COVID test. By the time you do three countries, your COVID test alone is about $500, $2,000 return. how are you going to grow tourist arrival? So we are advocating for this. COVID test alone can pay for my 3, 4, 5 nights accommodation. Why can't the country harmonize the same way we are harmonizing visa? And so this is the test we need. If you have this kind of test from Nigeria, from Ghana, from South Africa, you don't need to repeat it.
That should be more than enough. Hours. Unfortunately, exactly. Kwakwe, we have run out of time. I mean, you have a country like Ghana charging $150 just for a COVID test. We've got a long way to go, but we are getting more and more impatient. We need to fix ourselves. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. Kwakwe Donkor, CEO of Africa Tourism Partners, thank you.